We were talking about predestination. And let's look again at these foundation verses. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And the second verse was Leviticus 1, verse 3. If his offering be a burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord. Something just happened here. I may have to start over. Anyway, let's go on. I think I can see the notes, and we'll go from there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And we saw before that sanctification of the Spirit is connected with, in Romans 15, verse 16, it's connected with hearing the gospel of God, hearing and believing it. And the belief of the truth would be then the following gospel, the gospel that you're able to hear and believe. Once you believe the gospel of God, it would be the gospel of Christ for them, or for us, the wider telling of that same content, that same gospel message, the gospel of the grace of God. When Jesus Christ went to the cross to earn your justification and salvation, he had faith that the Godhead would raise him from the dead, and not one sin would be left on him. And this is part of the promise of life. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And we see it again in Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And then the next verse, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. To Paul, it's Paul speaking, according to the commandment of God our Savior. God calls us to exercise faith, just like he did Israel, not as a payment for justification, but as our receiving of God's gift of eternal life. You can see our faith in addition to the faith of Christ, Jesus Christ, as you read in several places in the Bible. We'll demonstrate or look at a couple of them at least. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So there in Galatians 2:16, you can see both your faith and the faith of Christ are needed. It says the same thing, and very similar, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and in Romans 3, verses 21 and 22. Let's look at Philippians 3, 9 first. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, For him it was of the law. For us it would be if we tried to be righteous by following the law. The law is a picture of the righteousness of God, but it's not a requirement for us today like it was for Israel. He says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's of God. That's crucial to the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God being by faith. Look in Romans 3:21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or shown without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. And upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the point is that it's available to all. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all, but it's only upon all them that believe. I hope you're getting an accurate picture here. All of those verses show faith, the faith that Jesus Christ had to have, and our faith that we have to have in trusting that Christ took care of all of our sin, all of our condemnation, and our salvation. He took care of it all on the cross. Jesus Christ became our sin and made believers to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, let's get back to Romans chapter 5 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You will hear some made up terms. They're famous by now. I mean, they're widespread, but they came from a man like John Smith or John Calvin or John, who knows, you know, not just one man, Martin Luther. There are people that, people go to churches because of the name of the person that started that bunch of people. And instead of being followers of the Word of God and followers of Christ, they're following a man's doctrine, teach doctrine has the implication is from the Bible. They're teaching opinions as if they were doctrine, as if they were Bible doctrine. The Bible says we have access by faith into this grace. It's not by being picked by God that we have access. We have access by faith. Leviticus 1:3 again, we have our own voluntary will. We don't have to wait for a capricious God to grace us with faith to believe. That's not grace. Grace is not conditional, other than it must be received by faith. There's no place in the Bible that there is any human being that cannot have the faith to believe the gospel. I was just sorry for the pause. I was just thinking about Judas. I believe that he could have made the choice to be a follower of Jesus, and continue that, and not betray him, but, you know, God knew what he was going to do and then planned the determinate will that he would betray him. And that all led to our redemption. Without Christ being given into the hands of the soldiers and going through those mock trials and being crucified for our sins, we wouldn't have a salvation, would we? So God's plan is unique. It's something that we could never conjure up, could never have. We can already believe, having heard the Word of God, we can believe that faith comes from, well, it says we have access by faith into this grace. We can believe that. And we, by that faith, have access into the grace. The grace is what? That's the gift of God to us. The gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:2 is so important regarding predestination. Those who claim that God chose from the start who's going to be able to be saved and who's going to be lost, and that they were created to suffer, the lost ones were created in order for them to suffer damnation, they lack, at least they show a lack of study, because that's not the start, that's the middle. That's in the middle step there. The truth is that God foreknew your choice. He didn't choose as a monster, you're going to hell, because I created you to go to hell. People don't go to the lake of fire because they have not believed. They do. I misread my notes, sorry. They go to hell because they didn't believe the gospel of their salvation. People go to the lake of fire because they have not believed the gospel of their salvation. God can see that future to us, even still. He knew it ahead of time, before we were created, before the earth was created. Regarding all humanity, God does not predestinate who is going to be saved. God predestinates who's going to be conformed to the image of His Son. And in the process, He calls them, and He justifies them. And in between calling you and justifying you, you believe the gospel of your salvation. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, you believe the gospel of your salvation. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your faith is involved there. But first of all, God foreknew you would believe the gospel of your salvation. People claim that God chooses for you that you're going to hell. They're building theories without studying to include all the inspired scriptures. The scriptures handle that if you include them, as we're trying to do today. Also, Romans 5:2, in that verse we see reference to the future of the believer in Christ crucified for our sins. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope is all about the future, isn't it? It's something, you know, in the Bible, it's something that we've been assured of. It's yet to come, so we hope for it. But it's not, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get it. I sure hope so. No, it's something we've been promised, and we're anticipating it. When is it coming? We know we're getting it, but when will it be? Remember the assurance in that we get in Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Verses 29 and 30 in Romans 8 are very tight. There's no backing out from start to finish. It's consecutive. From God foreknowing your choice to believe to God glorifying you, whom He did foreknow, them he also glorified. You know, with those steps in between, but that's the end result, glorification. We rejoice in the glory of God, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Excuse me just a moment. These next verses, we haven't looked at before in this study, they help to explain Romans 8, verse 30, that we just did look at. And keep in mind that there's a difference between a person being called by God to believe and a person calling on God for help after having believed. Okay, there's a difference there. Look in Romans 10. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So, the step before calling on the Lord, not the Lord calling you, but you calling on the Lord, the step before that is to believe on him. Only believers can call on him. We need to believe the gospel of salvation. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The step before believing in him is to hear of him. Only those who hear of the Lord and the gospel can believe it. You know, that bears on how you view Cornelius and his salvation and other things that slip my mind right now, but it does have a bearing on other things. The step before believing in him is to hear of him. Let's look at the verse. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The step before hearing of the Lord is that there be a preacher. Without a preacher, or the Bible itself, a person cannot hear of the Lord. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Holy Ghost sent Paul, Jesus Christ sent Paul too, together, to Israel to draw out a remnant according to prophecy. There was prophecy about a work to be done that they would not believe, but it was going to happen. It wasn't according to prophecy. The work, the remnant, there was a remnant to be brought out that was a prophetic remnant, and there was another remnant, or small part of Israel, to be brought out, drawn out by the preaching, that was not according to prophecy, but it was according to the choice of grace, or the election of grace. They elected God's plan of grace, offering salvation by grace. Let's summarize here for a minute. In Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, by the time of Acts 13, the Holy Ghost had sent Paul to preach the gospel of salvation to the same people that God all along had been working with, you know, and working through, Israel. And the Israel blessers, too, were involved in that same system of doctrine, the covenants, etc. When Paul preached the gospel of salvation to those Israelites and Israel blessing Greeks in the synagogues, that was when they heard. They got to hear it. And they had their opportunity to believe to be saved, according to Romans 10, verse 14. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? That also has to do with the Holy Ghost sending Paul. And in Acts 13, when the Holy Ghost sent Paul with the new gospel of salvation, the Bible does not record that at that time there was a change in whom that new gospel was sent. or a change to whom it was sent, I should say. For a while, Paul, there was a time that Paul's new gospel of Christ crucified for our sins was still being sent to the Jews and to those that blessed the Jews, fearing the God of Abraham. In Ephesus, that was the Acts period believers mentioned in Ephesians 1, verse 12. It was the we who first trusted in Christ that it's talking about. Paul being, that's Paul and the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues. Those were the ones who first trusted in Christ when Paul would come to the synagogue and preach to them. Acts 13 through early Acts 19. It was a while later that the Bible first recorded that Christ sent Paul to all men with the new gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And you can see that in Ephesians 1, verse 15 in Ephesus. The believers that Paul had only heard of, it says, after I heard of you. Let me get that verse in front of me here. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. It's not the ones that he led to Christ, that he preached Christ to, and his Christ crucified for our sins, for salvation. It's not those people. In his trip there in Acts, he had to hear of these people. In Acts 20, he preached to the elders of Ephesus, and they went back to Ephesus then, and Paul had already gotten his signal that he was to go and preach to all people. But you see evidence that all people were preached to by this group of believers in Ephesus that he writes to. They're not the ones that he preached to. They heard it from those elders, apparently, that went back to Ephesus, preaching the word to all people, not just to the Jews, not just in the synagogue. So in Ephesus, Ephesians 1, verse 15 in Ephesus, the believers that Paul had only heard of, he heard about them, they were the ones that were the you also in Ephesians 1:13. You also who trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. They also trusted in addition to the ones who trusted first. So there was a division there. There was two different groups of people that had to blend. And Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith, unity in the bond of peace. And that's another one that I want to make sure I quote right. I don't want to misquote the word. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's right. Yeah. So, it was another step later in Acts that Christ sent Paul to preach and to write to all men, to the Gentiles that were far hence doctrinally. Not merely the Gentiles whose synagogue presence would provoke Israel to jealousy and save some, as Romans 11:11 says there were Gentiles that heard it earlier. In Acts 22, verses 18 to 21, just before Christ sent Paul to those far-off Gentiles, he previewed to Paul in Acts 18 in the temple that he would send him to all men. That's Acts 18:22, told about here in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. He sent Paul to all men, but not to tell anyone about it yet, for they would not receive his testimony concerning Jesus. And that's right in Acts 22, verse 21, that they would not receive it. So he had to leave in a hurry. It was after Paul's temple vision, Acts 18:22, that Christ sent Paul to people that did not bless Israel. They were not part of the covenants. They did not want to be part of the covenants. They were against Israel. People that didn't care about whatever promises or covenants that God had made with whatever people in the past. They didn't know. But they knew that they needed a Savior when they heard Paul preach. And by God's grace, he now saves us that way. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that's the only way we can come to God today. Change your mind about getting to be good enough for God and accept your place as a sinner, needing Christ Jesus for your Savior. It wasn't until God's grace changed, or that his provision for salvation changed. It's just that it was later that all people were included in those that heard. It was the same gospel message. I may have misspoken before. It was the same gospel message. He cared about people all along, and his plan was a progressive plan, but anywhere along, before Paul, Gentiles could be saved by enduring to the end in Israel's covenants. They could come to Israel. They could proselyte into Israel, getting circumcised, or they could bless Israel, bless the seed of Abraham to receive a blessing of the Lord and not be condemned. So it wasn't that God's grace changed or that his provision for salvation changed. Romans 10:14, how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? They had to wait to hear Paul before they could believe him. Once we start hearing, then we can be able to believe. If someone happened to hear Paul's all men sending, they could believe and be saved too. And same thing for people before. If they walked by a synagogue window and heard Paul preaching the gospel and how to be saved, they could have been saved by believing that Christ died for their sins, but they didn't want to be near a synagogue. People didn't, you know, that weren't Jews or coming to God through Israel's covenants, they didn't want anything to do with God. They were enemies. They were the ones that cursed Israel. And you hear it today. People making jokes about Jews and things. It still goes on. I'm going to stop here and we'll try to finish later on.